The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Take your Bibles and turn to Numbers, okay? Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. While you're turning to Numbers chapter 22, I want to mention the person that we're going to be talking about today. And his name is Balaam. Now, I've heard of Balaam all through my whole life as I was growing up in Sunday school. And when I was a teenager, I listened to a singer named Don Francisco, who wrote a song about Balaam. And you're going to hear a little tidbit of that at the end of the message. But Balaam, now Balaam was not an Israelite, okay? He was not an Israelite. He's a prophet. He's described as a prophet in the Old Testament in Numbers 22 through 24. He's a diviner who is imputed by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse some people, and we're going to find out who it is in here in just a second. So let's get started as we're going to go through this section here of the Word of God. But before we do, let's pray. Okay, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your words. We thank you once again, Lord, for your mercy. We know that you even showed a man named Balaam mercy through his life, Father, and we just thank you for that. And Lord, we just lift you up, and we just praise you for that. And Lord, we just ask you again, once again, to speak through the words that are given tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, let's look at Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22, and then the children of Israel sent forward and pitched their in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Now, let me stop here for a second. Now, obviously, the word has gotten around, okay, that Israel had gone to battle against Amorites and pretty much wiped them out, right? So he's heard of what Israel has done through the Amorites. So he sees this, he's going to get nervous about all this, okay? So look at verse number 3. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are around about, as the ox licketh the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at the time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Can you imagine this? Okay. They see this group of people pitching their tents out there. And what is he said that they cover the face of the earth. So it's like as far as you can see this way, as far as you can see that way, as far as you can see that way, there's tents. There's a ton of these guys out there. Okay. And so knowing what they did before to the Amorites, they're thinking, okay, I think we might be next. And so that's why they were afraid. So verse number 6, it says, come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too many for me. Peradventure, or undoubtedly, okay, is what he's saying, I shall prevail. So without a doubt, if you curse these people, what does he say? I will prevail, is what he's saying here. That I may drive them out of the land, for I what that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. What he's saying here on this part is, on Balaam's part, if you bless somebody, they're going to be blessed. Okay, but if you curse somebody, they'll be cursed. So we know this from you, okay, that if you will bless these people, they will be blessed. Because, well, he knows a little bit about the background of Balaam. Balaam, this is pretty much first time we actually hear of him. But they hear pretty much the background of Balaam. So he knows that there are times that God has spoken to him. So if you curse this people, they will be cursed. So in verse number 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of division in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Verse number 9, and God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? So he's thinking, who are these men with you, Balaam? And Balaam said to God, Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, this is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Now come, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. So he's telling them word for word what he was told. And what does God say here? No way, Jose. He says, God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. For they are blessed. These are my people. I have blessed these people, and Balaam, you will not go and curse these people. That is the word that he gives him. So everything seems to be fine at this point, right? He goes up to him, he talks to God, and God said, no, you don't do it. So Balaam, he's going to go, okay. Balaam said, rose up the next morning, verse number 13, and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, means go home, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. He does not want me to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. So he basically told him what happened, right? Verse number 15, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. So now he's going to start bribing a little bit here, right? And here in this section, we start seeing now the true heart of Balaam. We're going to see the true man himself in this next section. He says, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray, hinder thee from coming unto me. Okay, so what is he saying here? You can have anything you want. Don't let anything hold you back, okay? Come unto me. He says, for I will promote thee unto a very great honor. So he's going to lift him up. I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Okay, so what is he? He's offering him this. Okay, I'll lift you up, give you honor, pretty much give you whatever you want here. So Balaam, he answered, said unto the servants in verse number 18. He says, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God, to do less or more. He can't do any more, any less than what the God, Lord God says for him to do. He cannot do any more than what the Lord says he could do. Okay? So, what comes from Balaam's mouth, though? Think about what comes out of Balaam's mouth, the first part of this verse, though. Okay? What is it that he mentions? He mentions wealth. You know, he can give me all the gold and silver in his house, but I still can't do it. They say, well, I will lift you up. You will have honor. You'll have whatever. Basically, and first thing Balaam thinks is, oh, money. So verse number 19, this is where he starts getting a little fun here. Therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Now, why in the world would he have to once again seek the will of God? He's already done it. He's already done it. God already told him, no, you can't do this. There's only one reason why he did. He think, well, maybe God will change his mind. God will change his mind. Why was he thinking? Oh, look at the dollars that I can get. Look, he had dollar signs in front of his eyes. Maybe God will change his mind and I can have this wealth. Verse number 20, and God came unto Balaam that at night and said unto him, if the man come to call thee, rise up and go with them. This is an important part of this. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shall thou do. Now, what's interesting about this, and let's look at verse number 21 real quick. And Balaam rose up in the morning, he saddled his ass, and went with the princes to Moab. Now the verses doesn't say anything about the men coming to him, does it? He just gets up the next morning, packs up his donkey, and he goes. It doesn't say the men came in like last time when they did that. The men came in, right, and said, "No, I can't do this because God said I can't do this." But this time he just gets up, packs up his donkey, and he goes. So verse number 20 says, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for the adversary, for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Now God knew what was in the heart of Balaam. He knew what Balaam was planning on doing on this trip. Well, I can go, and I can go ahead and curse these Israelites. That's why God grew angry with Balaam. Now, Balaam had no intention of doing what God told him to do, what we saw here in verse number 20, which he said, yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. And he knew that Balaam was not going to do that. So verse number 23 says, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass and turned her into the way. So he's coming, and the donkey sees this angel with his big old sword in front of him, and it scares him to death, and he veers off on the side of the road and getting out of the way. And what is Balaam's first thing to do? You stupid donkey! And he starts beating the thing, and he gets him back on the path again. So then, verse number 24, but the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. He grew angry again. here he's riding his donkey, and this donkey sees him, and his first thing they think, he can't go this way, he can't go this way, because he's got walls on each side, right? So what does he do? He just kind of stops. He goes, no, I can't go any further. And what happens? He crushes his foot in between the donkey and the wall. And what does Balaam do again? He gets mad, he gets angry, and he smites his donkey again. And the angel of the Lord, verse number 26, went further and stood in a narrow place, and there was no way to turn either to the right or to left. So we're in another area where you can't go any other direction. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with his staff. So again, here we go. Three times is the charm. You heard that? You heard the term, three times is the charm? This donkey was going to have nothing else to do with this, and he just goes fat down on the ground, and goes, I'm not going anywhere, and just sat right down underneath Balaam, and Balaam wasn't going anywhere, and what did Balaam do? He starts beating that donkey again. And this is where it really gets good. Okay, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto him, so it must have been a female donkey, right? And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wrought to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Okay, something noteworthy here, okay? Balaam was so angry and so mad at his donkey that he didn't realize that he was having a conversation with this donkey. I'm gonna give you a quote. I'm gonna give you a quote from Dr. Gordon about this, and he said it's one ass talking to another. He had no idea that he was talking, that this conversation, he was just so mad, and he's talking, and this conversation going on, and something else was taking place here too. Remember, there's a couple servants with him, right? Could you imagine the servants? Okay, here's Balaam talking back and forth with the donkey. Nothing says that the servants really understood what the donkey was saying. They could have. They could not have, but could you see him dumbfounded? Going, huh? What are you doing? Yeah. But look at the conversation here. He says, what have I done to thee that you would smite me three times? Okay, what really have I done that you would beat me this bad? And he goes, well, because you mocked me. And he says, because you mocked me, I would just kill you with a sword right now. And then what does the donkey say? He said, basically he says here, you have ridden me ever since you first bought me, right? When I first became your donkey, you have ridden me every single place that you have gone. Have I ever done this to you before? And he said, what? He said, no. You haven't done this before. And that's when God opened the eyes of Balaam. He said in verse number 31, and the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down on his face and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Because your ways were before perverse. He knew what was in the heart of Balaam, right? As I said before, he wasn't going to go and say what the Lord has told him to say. He was going to go curse them. So he knew that he was born in a way and with a perverse heart. And he said, and the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless he had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her life.
I like that part.
If it wasn't for your donkey, you would be dead, and the donkey would still be alive, because I would have killed you and left the donkey alone. Is what he's saying here. So, you'd be a dead man if it wasn't for your donkey, Balaam. And Balaam said unto the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Basically, he said, I'll go home. I'll turn around and go back. The angel of the Lord, verse number 35, said unto Balaam, go with the man. And he says something here in this verse that he said back in verse number 20. But only the words that I shall speak unto thee, that shall thou speak. And Balaam went with the princes. He goes on, he meets up with Balak, and then he sets up seven altars unto God and burns the altars. He has this time with God at this time. There are three times in the New Testament that Balaam is mentioned. One by Peter, one by Jude, and one by John in the book of Revelation. And Peter speaks of the false teachers who have left the straight way and wandered off to follow a way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Jude also talks of false teachers saying, woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit unto Balaam's heir. That's Jude 11. And then John reproved people who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites by sin, by eating food, sacrifice to idols, and by committing sexual immorality in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. So we see the example of Balaam and the perverse way that Balaam went in his ways. But Balaam does turn over and turn his heart to what God wanted him to do. And he sets those idols, like I said, and he converses with God, and then he does deliver that message that God wanted him to deliver unto the people. If you look in chapter 23, verses 7 through 10, he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defiled? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the of the fourth part of Israel. Let me die the death of the righteousness, and let my last ends be like his. He gives the message unto him. See, what can we learn here from Balaam? What can we learn from Balaam? We learn that, number one, at times God himself can, in his will, use a false prophet to achieve his purpose and his will, including having direct contact with that false prophet. God spoke, and he knew how Balaam was. He was not the best guy in the world, and yet he spoke with him. We learn. Number two, what do we learn from Balaam? We learn that since Balaam was that we could call today a diviner or seer or even a magician, he ran in a circle of gods, and thus it shouldn't come to surprise us that he also knew the God of Israel. Remember, he wasn't an Israelite, right? He wasn't a Jew, and yet he knew of God. Third, what can we learn from Balaam? The reason Balaam couldn't see the angel standing in his path was because he was spiritually blind. This is super ironic, given that Balaam was a diviner. Isn't that funny? He was a diviner, but he couldn't see the angel of the Lord, which means he should have been familiar and close to the spiritual world. Next, what we have learned from Balaam is that if the path to our desire seems blocked, there could very well be a divine reason for it. In such a situation, we would be wise to pause and look for the Lord to see if he might not be trying to communicate something to us. When Grace was singing Sunday, I went, wow, this song is great for this. She sang that song, Lord, keep me in your will so I don't get in your way. What a great message. And I was so blessed by that song Sunday. And she did such a great job. What else do we learn from Balaam? We've learned that the Lord is only will to go so far in stopping our free will. He'll only go so far. He offers us free will, but he'll only go so far. Over and over, God told Balaam he did not want him to go to King Balak of Moab to curse Israel. Yet, in spite of God's direct expression, Balaam remained stubbornly persistent and kept going back to God with the hopes that God would change his mind. Right? And what in the world did Balaam think? Was he thinking when he's thinking that God would change his mind? Next, we learn that a sorcerer negotiating with God was just as usual method of divining. The truth that Balaam would have had no idea how to communicate with God of Israel unless it was a manner he was familiar with. What did he give? Well, I got to go to God. So he must have been familiar with it. We learn that even though God allowed Balaam to follow his free will, which was against his divine will, God still accomplished his purpose. Israel would not be cursed, and in fact, it would end up happening. What would end up happening was Israel was blessed. He was not cursed. Israel was blessed. And the last thing I'm going to have for what we've learned is that God will choose the instrument of his choice to get his will done. If I may quote now this part, the last part of Don Francisco's song, Balaam. And he says, Balaam then repented of his sin, and he promised not to act like that again. And I hope he learned his lesson about God's reward for greed. But you know, it's that talking donkey that's really strange indeed. Now, donkey's just donkey, but she's still the thing God used, and that's the point I want you all to see. The Lord's the one who makes a choice of instruments he's using. We don't understand the reason and the plans behind his choosing. So when the Lord starts using you, don't pay it any mind. He could use the dog next door if he'd been so inclined. So he can use anyone or anything he wants to get his will done. So don't pay in mind if you think God's using you for something, that's great. But don't let it get to your head, because he could use a dog to do the same thing.